Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. And I know where I am. My partner brings me to this place, and I know where I am. I know who sits in the chairs. Did you ever think that perhaps there was a plan? A plan so big that it shaped the universe, and so small that it lives in your heart. Did you ever think such a thing could be? There are those who say the channeling process is flawed. And they would question the integrity of the process itself. They would say it is not the way that God, Spirit, speaks to men and women. There must be a more elegant way, they say, than a man in a chair. Oh, I've given the example so many times, and I want to take you there yet again. The man who sits in the chair in the jail cell, formerly Saul of Tarsus, now Paul the Apostle, he doesn't know whether he's getting out of jail, and by the dim light on parchment, he writes to his friends. He is filled with love, with wonder. Here is a man who may never leave the cell he doesn't know. He is there for political reasons. And he writes to his friends in Ephesus and in Corinth. One man in a chair. And he says, "Blessed am I among men, for I have found the divine inside, and I've seen the face of God." He says, "I've never been so joyous in my life," he says. What is it? And the words ring with truth. And later, his letters become Corinthians and Ephesians. This is a man who's channeling. And the words flow out on the page and they live forever. And these you call the Holy Scriptures, and they're not words of God, they're words of men. And all the Holy Scriptures on the planet are words of men and women, so many of them just sitting in the chair. And so this is the way of it. And what is before you now? Not necessarily as profound as Paul, but for a moment in time, it is our message to you. We know who you are. Can you question that? We know who sits here and why you sit here. We know of the secrets in the room, the sorrow, the celebration, the curiosity and the puzzles. All are known because your higher self is our higher self. I want the call of this channel spiritual discernment about a benevolent God. There are pieces and parts this particular message that I have given for the last months. But this is special. I've never tied it up in this fashion. I've never completed it in this fashion. I am aware of the language that some of you are listening to. My partner does not have that, or he would be speaking it. This tells you about channeling, for it uses the abilities, the consciousness, and the filters of the human being delivering it. It is an honoring to his culture and to what he knows. This is how channeling is. It is how it was with Paul. Is there a plan? Could there be something bigger even than you imagine? As I give this message this evening to those who have never heard it because you don't speak English, I want you to listen carefully. I am with the translator, and he feels me. He is blessed as well to give these words to you. And now we put it in front of you. A dispensation of discernment in this room. Many of you will remember what I speak of. Let me take you back, my dear old soul, to a time when we were together and the universe was created. A flash began due to the intersections of what some science are calling the dimensional membranes of multiverses. Universes that always were there, just like God. There was no beginning, just like God. In a circle, just like God. Your universe was created as an intersection of dimensional powers collided. That was your Big Bang. It did not come from nothing. It came from everything and started yet another universe. And over the billions of years and what you call the time that passed, your galaxy formed, your solar system formed. And scientists look upon this and they see a puzzle. They see something they never saw before. Nature seems to be random. And everywhere you look, you see nature work in a certain way that is complex. There are confluences and coherences that seem random. And they develop what you see around you. And you expect this randomness everywhere. And so do astronomers. When they look out into the stars and see how creation works, they started putting things together they did not understand. And now they are saying something you should know. For it fits in with the plan. Against all odds of randomness, your universe came together in a way that is built for life. And if you ask a statistician or an astronomer, they will say that the odds are enormously against what happened. In fact, they are so enormously against randomness. Astronomers are saying this, that there had to be a plan. They're even calling it intelligent design. They'll not use the word God, but it's pretty close. Against all odds, the universe came together in a way that was benevolent through intelligence, and even the scientists see it. Not random, not an uncaring physics, not something thrown together with energy that burns a certain way simply because there's a formula, but a beautiful plan. and the galaxy is formed, and the earth is formed. And now I take you closer in time. And there is the earth cooling, and life begins. By the way, your scientists have told you many times that life was against all odds. To have life begin in the way it did on this planet defies all the odds. Wait until they discover that life is everywhere in the sky, against all odds. Now here is the puzzle. Against all odds, it happened again. It didn't make it the first time. It happened again. It didn't make it the second time. Ask the anthropologist, ask the biologist. Life happened 5 times on the planet. 4 of them, it didn't make it. Nature did not put together all the chemistry that would sustain what it had created. And the 5th time, it created photosynthesis. And it stayed. 5 times against all odds. And life began. Now there's another puzzle, a plan for you to consider. Do you think this all happened by accident, perhaps? Laid out on the carpet of randomness of physics, perhaps? I want you to look at this. The earth was volatile. Oh, my dear ones, you don't remember watching this. Entire seas would get up and move. Land masses would jut up out of the grand volcanoes, would cover the sky with soot, rocks. Fire rained everywhere. The oceans boiled, and then they moved from here to there. Wasn't ready for humans yet. But animals started. Big ones. Very large mammals walked this planet while all of that was going on, even during 3 meteor strikes. And yet there were no humans. None of them. Isn't that interesting? You think that was accidental? It was not. The asteroid belt that is in the orbit of the planets had to settle down, and all of those intersecting orbits that would bring in those objects would strike the Earth. Time had to let them do that until there were no more. And then, and only then, was the spark of humanity given to the planet. Did you realize that? That's against all odds. Why weren't they with the dinosaurs? Plenty of opportunity. There's a benevolent God. And this benevolent God started the biology of humanity so it would coincide with a peaceful Earth, the one you're on. When you wake up in the morning and the skies are clear and the mountains are not moving around, oceans are not pouring into chasms and steam, coming up, filling the sky and moving mountains around you. It used to be that way. Not now. Because it wouldn't work, you know. It wouldn't work, you know. Now there is a benevolent plan. Are you seeing a pattern? I want you to use your spiritual discernment right now. You think that's an accident, the way things unfold this way? And then it happened not too long ago. Not too long ago. This is difficult to describe. It's grand and not understood. And there is no proof. In the constellation you call the Seven Sisters, there's an ascended planet. A planet that has gone through everything you've gone through and came out and made their fifth decision point. Thousands of years passed after that, and this planet is filled with ascended beings. They are at one with the universe. They are entangled with you. I do not speak in puzzling terms now, but they came here approximately 100,000 years ago, and they changed your DNA. And we speak now of that which is Pleiadian and precious. And they had help. They had help from others who have similar attributes, but not the DNA. Not like the Pleiadians. There's no proof that they changed your DNA and gave you the seed of divinity. Look at your creation stories, all of them, across the planet. Look at the most popular ones. They have fully developed human beings looking just like you in the metaphor of the garden, which is Earth. And in that place, in this metaphor, they are given the knowledge of good and evil, the duality. And in this place, they meet God. And that is the creation story of the Pleiadians. And some of the oldest religions on the planet will claim it. And they will see it. And eventually you'll see the pattern of these ancient aliens who are your seed. In love, they seeded you with the test. One time, they were the only planet of free choice, and they passed this to you. And now you sit here in the same kind of test they had. And I can't prove it. But many of you remember it. Anthropologists are starting to see a pattern. Here it is again. Nature loves variety, and they created many kinds of mammals. Go to your zoos, on display so many kinds of elk and deer, rabbit. But not the human being. Did you notice there's only one kind of you? Only one. Now, if you go back into history, you'll find as many as 26 kinds before the Pleiadians arrived. It took 50,000 years, and all the rest of them left. They couldn't compete with the one that had the divine DNA. I've given you this before, and now science sees it too. It's more than an anomaly, it's against all odds that all of them would go away, and there is no variety in this mammal called human, and only one kind is left, the kind with the Pleiadian DNA, you. Beautiful you are. You say you're human, and that is the description you give of a biological being, sentient, with Pleiadian DNA. I want you to use your spiritual discernment for a moment and look around. Every religion on the planet say there's a time when God came down and seated you with the knowledge that you have about God. It's understood, it's intuitive, and you know it. And the metaphors are there for you to see. There's a plan. There's a benevolent God who has put together something that is beautiful. A God that knows your name. A God that sits in your seat, cares enough to build a universe for you, to wait long enough on the planet till it's quiet and serene, and then to give you that which is divine. And the test began. Interesting, is it not, that the time of Lemuria corresponds with something that's going to happen next year. 26,000 years ago in Lemuria, they celebrated the precession of the equinoxes and the galactic alignment. And it's never occurred again until next year. That would be a wonderful opportunity to talk to them again, would it not? 26,000 years. I'll talk about that in a moment. Now I'm going to bring you more of the puzzle. I come into your time years ago. And some of you in the room will remember 1987. You called it the harmonic convergence, but it got a nickname, as you would say, a name that you use instead. It's called the 1111. All those years before the galactic alignment, something happened. This was the trigger, you might say, the beginning of a change of consciousness that was seen and measured by spirit in a way you don't know. Almost a signal sent to us that said, it's happening. The planet begins to shift and change. Do the numerology on 1111. You have two master numbers sitting next to each other. And they both stand for illumination. You add them up and it's a 4, and that is Gaia and structure. You have Gaia's involvement with the illumination of the human. It begins. And some of you, even this day, are seeing those numbers on your digital clocks. And you wonder why. What could it mean? You have to know that there's a plan. And if you didn't know, Spirit gives you things that are out of sequence. A beautiful sign, couldn't be coincidence. When you look at the clock by accident, 1111. And I want to tell you what it means. Are you ready? I love you. That's what it means. That's a benevolent God. Creator of the universe, with your help, in love with humanity. Peaceful, serene, beautiful, loving God who knows you enough to give you a sign so you relax. Relax. Fear not, it says, for this is the age of 1111. 1989. I came to my partner's house. And he opened the door and let me in, kicking and screaming. It's not easy to convince an engineer. And you can't do it with logic. Because he only thinks in 3D. You have to do it in the heart. And so we made him weep. And we created, a puzzle that he could not solve. And it won him over. Four years later, he wrote about it. We'll get there. 1991, the fall of the Soviet Union. That should have told you something. The earth was on a different course than you were told by anyone. No prophet. Not your schools, not your parents, not your churches. It was changing. That's when some of you woke up. I know who's here. If you want to track the lineage of your enlightenment, you were waking up in those years. Now you know why. It's the age of illumination. There might even be a plan here. And some of you were starting to see it. How could this be? And the old souls and the wisdom and the Akash started to awaken. And that's when you started to see it's happening. You want to whisper it because you can't believe it. Could it be that this is the lifetime that I was supposed to make the change? And the answer is yes. Oh, some of you sit here and you know it very well. It's a yes. For your life changed greatly. And you started to manifest the reality you were designed for. 1993, Crying Book 1. He waited all those years because he didn't believe it. He's just like you. Some of you have to be convinced, but you sit in the chair anyway, listening, waiting. Put this together. I ask you for spiritual discernment. Does this sound like an angry God in the sky that you have humanized so that there's wars in heaven and devils afoot? Does that sound like it to you? Does that sound like an uncaring God that is supposed to be in judgment of your sin? Or does it sound like a family member with his hand out saying, "Why don't you take it?" Everything you're seeing starts to add up to a plan. A benevolent God who actually knows your name, who might even live inside you with the higher self and every piece of DNA. Maybe. Maybe. And the calendar continues. 1994 is the beginning of the 36-year window of the galactic alignment. The ancients knew it. Now your astronomers know it as a wobble of the earth. That's all it is. It changes the sky very, very slowly. If you had a camera that was fixed and taking a picture once a year, it would never be the same picture. Except once every 26,000 years when the wobble hits the midpoint. That's going to happen next year. There is no other planet involved. There is no other star involved. It is only how you perceive the heavens. Because the earth wobbles on its axis. It has a fancy name called precession. But it carries with it an amazing energy, more than esoteric. For the ancients saw it. The Mayans saw it. The Toltecs saw it. The Aztecs saw it. The Egyptians saw it. The Chinese saw it. And they all assigned energies to it, for it was obvious to them. The shamanics of the day knew it. And they just started to describe the energies that you are feeling now. Let me tell you something, dear one. There are very few, even on my side of the veil, who thought you'd make it. The fifth time you were headed for destruction. You invented the weapons that would do it, and you were headed for it. And then seemingly almost at the last moment, it started to change. This is a 36-year window. You have 1 year left until the midpoint, and then you have 18 more. And in that 36 years, you get a chance to plant the seeds of peace on this planet, just like the Pleiadians did. Oh, they had a very similar story. Seemingly so long ago, and yet just yesterday. And they did it. You have Pleiadian energy in you. You know the story. You have their wisdom. And here it is. You're using it. 2012 is the midpoint of the precession of the equinoxes. And on that day, I hope you celebrate. A signal is going to be sent that is quantum and entangled to the seven sisters on that day throughout the planet at different times as the time zones come. By the way, you want to know where the center time zone is? It is not in London. That was done for maritime purposes. It's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean in Lemuria. That's the center of the time. And that's what is seen by spirit when you hear about a day at a time. It's Lemuria. You call it Hawaii. What are you going to do with this information? I would love to love your spiritual discernment. Look at the plan. Look at where you are. What my partner has described this day of what is happening to this planet. And then there are still those who would say, I'm having trouble with seeing God in this fashion. So I'm going to give you one more example. It's an example that I have given before, but never in your language. And I want you to hear it that way, deliver it that way. I want you to feel it that way. And we'll turn right now to the greatest power in the universe. We're going to talk about love. What's the greatest love on earth? What would you say? There are many kinds of love. Oh, there's the kind when humans look at each other and go temporarily insane. It's beautiful, you know. It's beautiful. There's an entanglement between them, where they have each other's thoughts. Such love. But there's one that is greater, even than that. The mother and the child. Every mother in here knows of this. Did I tell you that the angels stand around the bed when you're born? Mm-hmm. And they sing multidimensional songs that you know. So that when you were born into this, which is three dimensions, when you've come from a multidimensional place and you arrive here, I would like to tell you it's a shock. And the angels stand and sing you the songs that you've heard on the other side of the veil to make you feel better. Perhaps, mother, you're fortunate to have a birth where the baby was put upon your chest. And can you remember the first time the infant looked in your eyes and was quiet? Do you remember that? I hope you do. What's in those eyes? If the infant could talk, what would the infant say? Ah, so you're the mother, are you? What did you feel, Mom? Let us pretend. And I've used this metaphor four other times. Let us pretend that the infant, for just a moment, is mature and can talk to you just for a moment and looks in your eyes and says, Mother, I'm so glad you're my mom. I need you to tell me something. What's it going to be like with you? What can you tell me about Earth? Oh. Wouldn't that have been something? And what would you say? You would look in the baby's eyes and you would say, I am going to love you as long as I live. I'm going to take care of you as long as I live. And when you're sad, I'll be at your side. And when you're with your friends and you're not even thinking of me, I'm going to be thinking of you. And you will be in my mind all my life. I'll worry about you. And when you're cold, I'll give you a warmth. And when you cry, I'll hold you. And you know that's what you would say. Now let me give you the illogic of what some say you might do. Mother, how does this sound? The child looks in your eyes and says, Mother, what's it going to be like? And you say to the child, well, I'm going to be apart from you on purpose, make you a little nervous. You won't really know where I am ever. And then when you start to get ahead, I'll slap you down because I want you to suffer a little. And maybe along the way, I'll make it really difficult for you. Might even kill you. Yes, that's what it's going to be like. Now you might say, well, Cryon, where did you get that? And I will tell you where I got it, because that's what you're being told about God. Uncaring. Doesn't know you, doesn't care. Random. Brings you in here to test you and make you suffer a little. If you don't behave, I'm going to take you to hell. I want you to use your discernment right now, because this is the end of this message. There's a loving God that looks at you, and you look back when you touch that higher self. And here's the message. I'm going to be with you all your life. And even if you don't know me, I know you. And even when you wander off into the desert, the wilderness, I'm still there. And even though you would turn your back on me, I'll always be there. And inside you, there's a piece of me. And should you ever look for it, I'll make sure you find it. When you're cold, I'll be your strength and your warmth. And when you cry, I'll hold you. And when you don't believe in me, I'll still believe in you. all your life, and you'll never be alone, ever, ever, ever. There's a plan, for there's a benevolent God who loves you as much as you love your child. And if you start putting these things together, old soul, the shamans in the room will start remembering. That's what's happening now. Will the earth accept this premise? Probably not. And it doesn't have to. But old souls are the ones who will put together the consciousness shift that then will be contagious and so different. When you strike the match in a dark place, everyone can see, even though they won't know where the match bearer is. The light still allows all to see something they could not see before. Therefore, I say it yet again, less than 0.5% of humanity must awaken the old soul within for all of humanity to see the light. And it's happening. Slowly, it's happening. And the operative word would be congratulations. Courageous ones who will leave this place and go back into society and have to go to jobs and families that are difficult to be with, where you will hold a light where others can see better than they ever could before. And that's what you do. There are those in this room who have spread this word around the planet, and we know who they are. There are those in this room who are healers and shamanic energies themselves, and we know who they are. But all of you are old souls, and we know who you are. So you might say that in the Akash you carry is the future of the planet. Go from this place and do what you came for. For there is help, a benevolent God who knows your name and lives in your heart. And so it is.